Amen. Amen. We made him sweat today. Oh, I tell you. Y'all bring him some water. Bring him some water. We're very thankful that God has blessed us to come to this place that we might worship him and acknowledge that he is God and know that it is because of him that we have this sacred privilege, and it is a privilege for us to be able to come into this place. We live in a country where we don't have any restraints. We are blessed to be able to worship in a country called America. And I believe that it's okay to say, God bless America. Because many people don't have this freedom all over the world. And just for that, you ought to be able to say thank you. You know, I do feel like praising him. I really do. But I know if I started praising him, I'd be praising him all day and all night. I'd be praising him for the sun, praising him for the moon, praising him for the stars. Praising him for being able to put my shoes on. Praising him for being able to brush my teeth. Just praising God. So I better stop. I better stop because I tell you. You know, we were talking about love, and I see Brother and Sister Batts in our audience today, and they sponsor a heart-to-heart banquet. And we were part of that on last evening. And we want to thank them for the vision that God gave them and celebrated, had this wonderful occasion. This was the fifth annual of that event. And it was my first opportunity to be there, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. And we appreciate not only them, but we appreciate all of you who really do whatever you can to make this body a body that is being nourished and being edified by the word of God and by the fellowship that we have one with the other. If you're visiting with us, know that you are our honored guest. We appreciate your presence. It's always a joy to have visitors to come and to be with us in our worship to God. We are involved in a great theme this year. It's a very challenging one. And we're talking about the anatomy of discipleship. And this particular quarter, we are looking at the mind of Christ, the anatomy of discipleship as it relates to the mind of Christ. And when we talk about the mind of Christ, then we're speaking to the teaching of Christ. And this brought us to our focus, which is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And actually, the sermon goes chapter 5, 6, and 7. Verses 1 through 12 is the preamble of this sermon. It is called the Beatitudes. And I hope that all of you understand that there is no way that we're going to be able to speak to you from all of the teaching of Christ, not only in the New Testament, but we will not be able to speak to you concerning all of the great truths that are really involved in the sermon itself. And so what we have chosen to do is to deal with the preamble or deal with the Beatitudes. And each one of these Beatitudes actually is the foundation of his teaching. If you gain a good understanding of this part of the sermon, wherever you go in the sermon, wherever you go in the epistles, wherever you go and you hear that this is what Jesus has taught, you will be able to go back and relate it to the very teaching of these eight or nine Beatitudes. Beatitude simply means blessed. We're talking about being blessed, and if one is blessed, the word means happy. Now, when you think in terms of being blessed in this sense, number one, you're talking about well-being. There's a well-being when one experiences the teaching and he applies the teaching of Jesus Christ. Not only is there well-being, but one is fortunate. You'll find that your life really becomes a fortunate life because you are following the teachings of Jesus. But the one that probably has the most meaning to me and probably the best understanding to me is the fact that you are now brought in favor with God. When one is blessed, he is brought in favor with God. So this blessing is a blessing that is not based on circumstances. All of us have different circumstances. These circumstances, they can cause you to either have a good day or a bad day. You can be traveling on the expressway and you're having a good day until someone cuts you off and then all of a sudden you got a bad day. But that's not what we're talking about. The blessings that God wants us to experience is a blessing that comes from the inner man, the inward man. Actually, they come from the Spirit of God that is in a man. When one is experiencing a life that is being blessed, there's well-being regardless of circumstances. You're fortunate. I don't care whether you have a job or not. You are now in the favor of God. And that's the way you want to live. Now, being in the favor of God simply means that you are in the kingdom of God. When one lives in the kingdom of God, I'm telling you, that's a blessed individual. So if you're in this house today, and you're not a member of the kingdom of God, the church of Christ, I beg you, do not leave here without being brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is culminated in the watery grave of baptism. That's how a disciple is made. A disciple is made when he is taught and when he responds to the gospel message and when he repents, when he confesses Christ and he is baptized. He's baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that brings about discipleship. But then you have to continue to be taught. And that's what we're doing. We are being taught concerning the mind of Christ and the attitude that every disciple should have. Now, the character of a Christian, the characteristics of someone in the kingdom of God is totally different from the characteristics of people that are in the world. If you ascribe to the citizenship of the kingdom, your king, who is King Jesus, has asked of you to maintain a character that it really blows the mind of those who are in the world because there is absolutely no comparison. Now, I dealt with, in the first beatitude, the poor in spirit. And that right there goes against the grain as far as the world is concerned. Brother Worthy did an outstanding job last week concerning the mourning. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I'm going to deal with, on this third installment, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, when we deal with this idea of meekness, there is a definition that Webster gives and that some of your modern dictionaries give, and to them, they say that it is deficiency in courage. Deficiency in courage. May I hasten, may I hurry and get away from that definition, because that's not what Jesus has in mind. That's not what it means in the Bible. When you look at the biblical definition, which comes from the Greek, it is a word which means mild, gentle, soft. A meek person is gentle. They are mild. They are tenderhearted. They are patient. They are submissive. Lord have mercy. Hear all of that, you say, oh Lord, why can't we hurry and get that? But meekness, watch this, was often used to describe the soothing medicine that one would receive. Not only that, but it also referenced a gentle breeze that you could experience. Another definition of it, or example of it, is a colt. That's a newborn horse, a colt that has been broken and domesticated. Jesus is said to be meek. Paul, in his addressing the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 1, here's what Paul said concerning meekness. Now, I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. There it is. He says, by the humility and the gentleness of Christ. Now, that is the NIV. But you have to understand that humility, gentleness, meekness is a characteristic of Jesus Christ. So if we're going to be disciples of Christ, then this idea of meekness must be incorporated into the life and the character of those who are discipled by him. Jesus himself says, or Matthew says concerning Jesus as he references Zechariah's prophecy. In Matthew 21 and verse number 5, as Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, he said, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey, upon a colt. Now, that I chose to move away from the King James Version, but it's riding up on a colt or riding up on a donkey. But notice the emphasis is the fact that Jesus himself is meek. He is gentle. He is tenderhearted. Jesus Christ is patient. He is submissive. He is not weak. When he gives his great invitation in Matthew chapter 11, 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Now, when you learn of him, he says, I am meek and lowly. I am gentle and I'm lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. So when we talk about blessed are the meek, we are talking about a characteristic that is of Jesus himself. It is a characteristic that the Lord says blessingness comes, well-being comes, being fortunate if you have this characteristic. And most of all, it brings you into the favor of God. Now, what you have to see is that you don't just grow or be born into meekness. That is not meekness. If a person is born shy, that is a biological propensity. Spiritual meekness comes from the Spirit of God. There are some people who are naturally shy. They naturally want to stay away from crowds, and they have this but that's imitating what is really not what the Lord is calling for. He's calling for meekness. Now, here's the reason why. Because meekness, true meekness, hear me well, true meekness cannot be separated from power. Now, say that again, Brother Gibbs. True meekness, I'm talking about spiritual meekness, can never be separated from power. If you ever see it, it's always in the person of power. So the only way you're going to be able to demonstrate it is that you're going to have God to help you when you got power to demonstrate meekness. Anybody who has meekness has conviction. You cannot separate meekness from conviction. I mean, every time you see meekness, it's going to always be associated with conviction. Now watch this conviction. The conviction is that I'll die for what I believe in. So don't ever associate meekness with weakness. God is not asking us to go into this world and be submissive and weak. His people are not weak, but his people are gentle. His people are mild. His people are able to demonstrate power under control. Now, I want to illustrate this. Now, let me say this before I do that, because you'll never get to this meekness that we're talking about if you're not ever poor in spirit. No. You don't jump to meekness over poor in spirit. The man who is really meek is a man who understands that I am bankrupt before God. Now, that I know you say, well, Brother Gibbs, that doesn't make sense. I thought you were talking about a person who had power. But the power that the person has, listen to me well, the power that the person has is not a power that is so inherent of themselves. Example, if you have an education, and you have an education from Harvard, do not, if you're poor in spirit, do not think that because I have been educated at Harvard that I can walk around now and assert myself and brag on myself because I am well educated. A man that is poor in spirit is a man who understands that though I have this education, in the sight of God, I don't even match. Your Harvard education will never be greater than God's knowledge and God's power. Take your education, put it in the sight of God. Compare it to the power and the knowledge of God, and you are nothing. Now, you can take your education and compare it to my education, and then you got something to brag about. But no. He's not asking us to compare our education with one another. He's saying, when you have power, when you have position, when you have money, compared to mine, and your money's a drop in the bucket, not even a drop in the bucket compared to what God, because I own the cattle of 1,000 here. All the gold and all the silver is mine. Even the money you have is mine. So you have nothing to brag about. God's people don't brag, because they recognize I don't have anything to brag about. And God's people are also sinners. They mourn over the fact that I don't measure up to what God wants me to measure up to. And I mourn because my sin doesn't hurt me only, but it hurts others. But most of all, it hurts God. I don't mourn because I got caught. Folk who got caught, yeah, you mourning. But true mourning says that I know what I've done. I've hurt God. I don't measure up to God. And then that leads into meekness. A man that's not poor in spirit, a man who does not mourn his own position of his status before God, he'll never be meek, because he feels too good about himself. He feels like, I got it. I've done it. They ought to hear me. They ought to talk to me. They don't know who I am. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I'm going to get sidetracked. Meekness simply means surrendering myself and all that I have been blessed with under the control of God Almighty. Now, I want to give you several examples. And I say to you young people, and I'm proud of our young people. I mean, I am proud of our young people. We have a great host of young people. And you young people, I want you to don't think I'm trying to move you away from education. I want you to get all the education you can all the education you get. But I want you to understand that when you're educated, surrender your education and surrender yourself under the control of God. That's a meek person. And then when you do that, God says, if you win the lottery, if you, I know y'all played that lottery last week. You got that ticket. But here's what you got to understand. That whatever you're blessed with, put it under God's control. Now, I'm going to briefly share three examples of meekness. And I want you to see it. Meekness is never associated or never demonstrated without power. Didn't I tell you that? And it's also never associated without commitment. Now, here's the thing about it. When meekness is demonstrated, it always results in God's blessings. Because you have been brought in favor with God and you will inherit. The Bible says you will inherit. He said inherit the earth. But I want to share some. I want you to see this. Go to Genesis. I've been here before, but go to Genesis chapter 13. Hurry right quick and then I'm going to be through. Genesis chapter 13, verse number 1. Watch this. So Abram went up from Egypt to his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy. See, God is not against wealth in livestock and in silver and gold. He's not against you having money. Now watch this. He says, from the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier. Go on. And where he had first built an altar, there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now watch this. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds. So he doesn't mind your kinfolk having some money too. All right, watch it. But the land could not support them while they stayed together. Now that's saying they had a whole lot of possession. For their possession was so great that they were not able to stay together. Now that's the kind of blessing God will give you. And quarreling rose, a strife rose between Abram's herds and Lot's, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites also living in the land at that time. Watch this now. I want to show you, watch this now. This is meekness. Watch him. He has the power to do what he wants to do. Abram does, but watch his meek spirit. So Abram said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Watch this now. Watch meekness, gentleness, mild in disposition. Is not the whole land before you? He didn't say before us. He did not say before us. That's meekness. He was the uncle, the boy was the nephew. He had power. Let's part company. Now watch meekness. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the left, I'll go to the left. To the right, I'll go to the left. Watch him. Hurry right quick, because I got to hurry. Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of Jordan toward Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Watch the next verse. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Listen, Abram is being very mild and meek. Watch this though. Abram lived in the land of Canaan while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Watch verse number 13. Now the people of Sodom were very wicked and sinning greatly against the Lord. Verse number 14. The Lord, watch this. Oh,
The Lord said to Abram, this is where inheritance comes. When you show meekness and you don't feel like you got to try to make things favor you, and you just turn it over and just turn it loose. Don't argue with your mate. Don't argue with your co-worker. If things have gone wrong between you and somebody and there's a quarrel, take low. Don't get all irate. Don't call Channel 8. This is what God said. Look around from where you are to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. Hold it right quick, because I got too far to go. All the land that you see. And I know Sodom and Gomorrah was in his sight. I'll give it to you. So in other words, I'm going to give you even that land that your nephew just took. Watch this. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth so that any could count. If any could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Watch this. The man inherited because he was what? Meek. I want to give you another one. Go with me to Genesis 45, 8. This is Bible class. But I'm driving the point. This is Joseph before brothers who sold him into Egypt. Joseph is sitting on a throne of power. You will never have meekness unless power is in the ability of the person who exercises meekness. Those boys now know that this is Joseph, who they sold. Watch his attitude. So then it was not you. This is Joseph talking to his brothers. So then it was not you who sent me here. But whom? He. Oh, if I was like those old preachers, I said, he. Our problem is that we want to make ourselves. Our problem is that we want to assert ourselves. I want to assert the power that I have. God put me here and God placed it here. And now I got it and now I'm going to use it. But the man was meek. And he inherited. Lord made me father Pharaoh. Lord of his entire household. Ruler of all Egypt. Now I got the power to destroy you for what you did to me. But I'm not going to use it. I'm going to put it under God's control. Verse number 9. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Now that's what it means. When you meek in spirit, the Lord will help you to inherit. You don't have to show out on your job. You don't have to show out in your home. I know your husband may be wrong. I know your wife may be wrong. I know that your neighbors may be wrong when they hit your car and didn't say anything about it. And you got a right to call them out. Tell them, I know you did it. I know you didn't look at this. Look, I can see the paint. But just be cool. Good morning. Hope y'all slept well last night. I got one more I want to show you. 1 Samuel chapter 26, 9. I know I'm giving you too many examples. I've already made the point, have I not? But let me give you this one more. 1 Samuel chapter 26, I want verse number 9. I'm going to make a long story short. Now listen to this. David, I want to show you power. Saul, King Saul is after David, trying to kill him. King Saul has sent, let me preach to y'all over here. King Saul has sent 3,000 soldiers after David. David said, am I a flea? He said, man, why are you flea? Why are you chasing a flea? Why are you chasing a dog? But watch this. Saul at this time is encamped in the wilderness after David. And Saul is in the very middle of the camp for protection. They don't want the king to get hurt. So they got all these 3,000 tents and soldiers around him, right there in the middle. I mean, right there in the middle. And he's asleep. He has his spear at his head and a cruse of water. This is Saul. David and Abishai have snuck into the camp that night, and they're standing over Saul. And Abishai says, the Lord has delivered him into your hand. Let me strike him. And I guarantee you, I won't need to strike him but once to get him. Now, this is what David said. Watch meekness. Don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Watch verse 10. As surely, watch him. Surely as a what? He said, the Lord himself. This is the teaching of Jesus. Don't render evil for evil. God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, said the Lord. You don't have to try to get them. Oh, yeah, he's going to die. He will die. He may die in battle, but he's not going to die at my hands. Watch the next verse. Oh, this. But the Lord forbid that I should lay hand on the Lord's anointed. Now get the spear and water jug. May I make a point here and y'all don't get mad at me? You need to be careful how you talk about your leadership. Your leadership can be wrong, but you better be careful how you talk about them. Huh? No. Wait. I'm trying to show you. You don't put your hand on God's anointed. I thought I dropped that. That's not the point. I just gave you that free. All that talk you're doing behind closed doors and at your kitchen table, you better be careful. Lord got him. Lord know who's doing what and what? Watch this. Now, this is what David said. Now, get the spear and the water jug that are near his head. And let's what? Some of y'all would have said, ain't going to let him go. No, I'm going to get him. Chasing me like that, I'm going to get him. Watch the next verse. So David took the spear and water jug near Saul's head. And they left. Now this is what I want you to see. No one saw or knew about it. Nor did anyone wake up. How you gonna get through 3,000 soldiers? And nobody? wakes up. But see, David was what? Meek. David was what? But David had what? But David also has what? Conviction. His conviction won't let him touch God's anointing. You never see meekness unless you see power, unless you see conviction. So don't ever mix up meekness with weakness, because it ain't. It's not. No, I got the power. I got the power, but I will not use it. They were all sleeping. Because what? The who?
The Lord.
Put them to what?
Sleep.
Now that's the kind of sleep I need at night. I thought I'd just tell you. I don't wake up until, you know, I'm here. Now this is the teaching of Jesus. When he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall what? When David let Saul go, guess what he inherited? He inherited the what? The kingdom. Now will you go back to the sermon with me now? Now I need Matthew 5, verse number 38. Matthew 5, verse number 38. Slide open. All right, read that. Read it for me. You have heard? What? And a what? Watch the next one. Watch the next one. If you heard that it was said, love your what? And what? Come on.
But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who pray for you, that you may be children of your Father.
Now stop right there. That you may be what?
Children.
Now that's what a true disciple is. It's not because I can't. It's not because you can't. No, you could retaliate. You're not right when you ask me for money. You know it, and I know it. Because you're always asking me. Watch that last phrase. He causes. That's why when you have meekness, he causes. Not you. He causes. Whatever situation you find yourself in, take the role of being mild, gentle. Don't retaliate. Tell them, you don't have to say anything. I guarantee you, if more meekness was in our relationships, we'd have less divorces.
I'm the head of this house, and you're going to do it because I said do it.
All right, go ahead. But you know what I'm saying. As I close, I am praying that there's someone here this morning who has seen what the Bible teaches concerning meekness. I hope that you see that there are blessings in having a meek spirit. Even wives who have a meek and quiet spirit is a great price in the sight of God. If you want to be blessed, if you want to be fortunate, if you want well-being in spite of your circumstances, if you want to be able to inherit, get things that you can't get on your own, God says just have the right spirit, have the right characteristics, and I'll bless you. Somebody in here has a testimony. Somebody in here who's already tried it, and you know how God has worked in your life. I'm telling you, let's be good disciples of Jesus. Let's be good disciples of Jesus. I pray somebody wants to be a disciple of Jesus. Somebody wants to come into the kingdom of God and learn this wonderful way of living. I beg you to do that. Jesus begs you to come. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. And I guarantee you, you'll find rest into your souls. I beg you to come to Jesus. You come to Jesus by believing that he is the Son of God and that he died on your behalf. But thank God he was resurrected on the first day of the week. That death, that burial, and that resurrection was for you, that all your sins would be remitted, canceled out. Your past, your present, and your future sins, all encompassed by this wonderful sacrifice of his blood. His blood keeps on cleansing for future generations. That's a powerful, powerful salvation. You don't want to live in this life without that kind of insurance where the blood of Jesus continuously cleanses you from all of your sin. President Obama can't make a promise like this. Congress can't legislate nothing like this. This is a free gift from God. Don't you want to be blessed? I beg you to come and complete your obedience in the water grave of baptism, which is for the remission of sin, and that'll place you into the kingdom of God. Matthew 28, verse number 19. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Number 572. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I free.